Welcome to Gemara Markings, Daf Yomi Tosfos Shiur, Brachos Daf Nun. Don't forget to click on the Daf to view today's Mark Tosfos using the popular Gemara Marking system, similar to that used for the Daf Gemara. If you are not already familiar with our system, a thorough explanation is available by clicking on the Learn the System option. We turn to the upper part of Daf Nun, the second Tosfos on the Daf. The first Tosfos was part of our previous Shiur. Divor Maschul Al HaMozoin Hare Zebur. The Gemara here was mentioning that from the text that a person uses during his Zimun, you can reveal what level individual he is. And one of the points made in the Gemara was that if a person says Nevorech al hamozon shalchanu, he reveals himself to be an ignoramus. Why? So Tosfos explains the mashma de mevorech lebal habayis hamachilo. If a person says Nevorech al hamozon, it sounds like he is blessing the host who provided him with the food. Di l'rachmona. Because if the intention was to bless the Almighty, which one is supposed to be doing right now, so lomahu maskir mozon, why is he making mention of the food below mozon yesh harbe levorcho? There are many other reasons to bless the Almighty. By the fact that you are specifying the food, it sounds like you're talking about the host and not the Almighty. Because if you were talking about the Almighty, you wouldn't specify the food per se. Omar Rova, Halacha Kerebi Akiva. This psak is regards the machlokis we saw in the Mishnah. Is there a necessity of distinguishing in your language or the text that you used in the Zimun based on the different numbers of people that are there? In other words, a distinction between 10 versus 100 versus 1,000 versus 10,000. Rabbi Kiva said no distinction is made, that only distinction that we have is between 3 and 10, but once you hit 10, it doesn't matter if there are 10 or 10,000 people, similar to the way we conduct ourselves in shul when a person gets an aliyah to the Torah or before the Brichas Kriya Shema, we say Baruch Hu Hashem, regardless of the number of people. Pirush Rabbeinu Chananel, de Hochi Kaimolon, and Rabbeinu Chananel says, and we follow this psak of the Gemara. V'hilkoch bein basora, bein b'mea, bein b'riboy, oimer nevorech, elokeinu ala mozon shelchanu. Therefore, when you have a group of 10 or above, whether it be 10, 100, or 10,000, you're going to be using the same text. Avol b'shloisha lo yazkir al hamozon, kidomor li'el. If you're sitting with a group of three, as it's a threesome zimun, then you don't mention al hamozon, as the Tosfos just before explained, because then it would appear that you're blessing the bala bayis, the host. V'gam ba'asora im eino rotzei lahazkir al hamozon. And similarly, if you're sitting with a group of 10 and you don't want to mention the word, the expression al hamozon or shus biyado, the Gemara had explained that when you are with 10 and you do mention mazon, it does not create the same problem as a threesome saying al hamazon, because when you're with 10, you are mentioning the Almighty's name. You're saying Elokeinu, so there's no mistaking who you are blessing. As opposed to in the case of 3, if you say al hamazon, there is room for mistaking and thinking that you're blessing the host. Another linguistic or textual point Tosfos makes, v'omer, you say, u'bituvo chayinu. The expression bituvo, and do not say mituvo, as was mentioned in the Gemara. Shlosha shiyoshvu, the next Tosfos, shlosha shiyoshvu lechol ke'echad. Three people who sat down to eat together, so our Mishnah told us toward the lower part of the page, Einon Roshoin L'chalik. Afapi Shehoyu Chalukin B'kikar. Three people who sat down to eat together, it doesn't mean that they ate from the same loaf. They might have each one had a separate bun or separate roll. Shekolecho V'echor Oichel M'kikar. Each one was eating from his own loaf. Nevertheless, Einon Rashoin L'chalek, they cannot split up, Klomar. This is to say, Afalpi Shehen Chalukin B'kikros, even though they are physically, they're already separated with regard to the bread from which they are eating. V'salka Daitoch, I would have thought, Ein Zet Siru V'lochal Aleim Choy Vazimun, that this does not constitute togetherness. I would have thought that togetherness is only if they're eating from the same loaf, mamish. Afilu hachi einon rashoyin l'chalik. Even so, even though they're eating from separate loaves, the fact that they decided to sit and have a meal together, they cannot split up. The next Tosfos is technically should be placed on Amud Beis, as the note says, and it would refer to the Gemara at the top line. And the Gemara here was dealing with a situation of three people that assembled, that got together, having come, each one of them, from their own respective groups of three. So, this halacha was qualified by the by Rava, and said that if a new group of three is formed by three people who had come from three separate groups, so they cannot split up, and they must have a zimun together. And Rava said this is true only if. Now the lashon of the Gemara was at the top of Amud Beis. This is true only if, in their original groups, they were not part of a zimun. If they were part of a zimun in their original groups, parach zimun minayu, so their zimun obligation is relieved, if literally flown away from them. In other words, they're no longer bound to have a zimun because they already participated in the zimun in their original groups. So now Tosfos says, the Dibor Masal Aval I Akdimu Vazminu Balayu B'duchtayu, if they had earlier in their previous groups been participants in a zimun, Piru Sha'ochal Kol Echod Mehashlosha, these three people that assembled to form this new group had each one eaten, the Hifsik L'Shtayim Shoyim Subanimo, and they had paused their meal because two others in each one of their respective threesomes, two of the three, wanted to finish and leave. So they, these three people that now assembled, each one had been a third of their original groups, and they had stopped for those two that wanted to stop early. And they were hifsik, as the Lashon of the Tosfos is hifsik l'shtayim shemesubinimu ad hazon kidisuleil. They had stopped their meal and listened to the birchas hamazon that the first two were reciting, and they had paused where the zimun had been the one who was leaving the zimun had read till hazon, completing the first bracha of the birchas hamazon, and this fellow had paused till that point. So what do we say? Porachov azimun me'alehem. These three people, who had each one of them been the last eater in their original groups, who had paused for the other two in their respective groups. So this so the Gemara says that porachov azimun me'alehem klomar peturin min azimun. They are exempt from zimun v'rashoyin ato l'chaleik, and they can now split up if they want, even though it seems that they had continued to eat together in their newly formed group. But as far as zimun is concerned, they are no longer zimun bound. V'Rashi lo piresh kein. Rashi didn't explain thusly the difference between the Rashi and the Tosfos. So we recommend looking at the Hagois of Divrei Nechemya to see the point that the point of difference. We continue with the Tosfos at the top of Amud Beis. Shechalkua achin o shutfin tahora. The Gemara had, Rava technically, had cited his source for the idea that three people who had formed this new group after having come from three groups, each one from their own group of three, where they had been participants in a Zimun. So we just got finished saying that they no longer will have a Zimun because their original Zimun requirement has already been fulfilled. They already fulfilled their original Zimun requirement by being participants in the original Zimun. And the Lashon was that the Chayva Zimun is Porach Minayhu. Rafa says, well, where do I know this from? I know this from a case of a bed that's made of a frame and four legs, and it was stolen. Half of it was stolen or got lost. So that bed, if it had been Tomei, it now becomes Tohor. So that its original status of being a Tomei bed, because it was split, it was broken, was pulled apart, so it loses its original Tumah. And the source says if it's restored, so it will be subjected to being Mekabel Tumah Mikan Labo, it can absorb new Tumah, but its old Tumah is a thing of the past. Similarly, with these three people, the Zimun that they had participated in, because they had participated in, so their Chova Zimun, their Zimun obligation, is now a thing of the past, even though they got together and formed this new group. The Tosfos at the top, Shecholkua Achin Oishutfin Torah, Tema. Tosfos raises a question: how in the world can the source presented in our Gemara say that the bed that's split loses its Tumah? Because the Omar Basukin, Masechet Sukkot, says Mita Mitama Evorim, a Mita, a bed, is Mitama, still will still have Tumah even though it's in its Evorim state. Evorim would literally mean the limbs. What are the limbs of a bed? Kagon Aruka Ushte Kroyam, like two legs and a crossbar. If you have two legs of a bed and a crossbar, that was part of a frame, it still is Tomei. So why does the source here say that Amita that's Nigdava Chetzya is Tahor? Veli Nireh. So Tosis explains that there is a distinction. The Hasam Mayri Shochlach Zira Kasher Batchilo Ulasakna. The bed that was dismembered in Masechet Sukkah is something that could be reassembled and it will be like it was originally. Shakraim Be'ein Vehedyot Yochlach Zira. The legs, everything is still extant. It just happened to have been dismembered, pulled apart, but you wouldn't even need a carpenter to put it together. A hedyot, a commoner, would be able to reassemble it. So that's why, since it's, even though it's technically disassembled, but since it could easily be reassembled and all of the parts are there, so it does not lose its Tumah. But in our case, it's more disassembled. The parts are not be'ain, and therefore the pieces that you have that remain with you lose their Tumah. Vim Tomar Amailo Porichocha, you might ask, why does the Gemara not quote here when Rava is citing a source indicating that something that had an original status and loses it and went to the realm of Tumas Kalim, so why doesn't he cite as a source Mikol Kli Shinishbar V'Tohor, from any vessel that breaks, we know if it had been Tomei, it loses its Tumah. Almo Kevon De Palgua Porach Lo Tumah. You can see from any Kli Shinishbar that once it's split, once it's broken, it loses its Tumah. Why does Rava cite specifically the case of Mita Shenigdava? Veli Nireh, Tosis explains, Deshaini Hosam, the case of that was suggested in the question of kol kli shenish, by any kli that's broken, that's different. She'ena roi oiv litstarefa kli yachad ulekabel tuma afilu mikanu labo, because the din of kli shenish bar v'tor is a kli that is totally smashed, and reassembling it would not help to reinstate tuma to it, even tuma from that point onwards. There would be a lack of parallel to the case of three people that, if they were to meet on some other occasion and form a group for a meal, that they would become obligated in a new zimun. So, in order to find a parallel in the world of tumas and taras, we found this. Rava found this source of mita shignig v'chetzia, that if the ganav returns the other parts, it will be able to absorb tuma from that point onwards. Hence, a nice parallel between that and three people that, if they were to join up on some other occasion for a new meal together, so they would become obligated in a zimun. The next Tosfos, Shamosh Mitzarfon Lezimun. This is a reference to two groups of, two groups of people that were eating separately. In the same house, but separated by a partition. So you have two separate groups of people, neither one of which equals 10 people. But if you have a shamosh, a waiter serving both groups, walking between the two groups, so he would serve to join the two groups. That's called the shamosh mitzarfon. And Rashi points out, even if the two groups do not see one another, as we gave as an example, where a partition existed between the two of them. So the Tosfos says, Shamosh mitzarfon lezimun, v'adin b'shnei botim u'bnei odom oimdim mishamshim izu lezu mitzarfon. This halacha would apply even in two separate houses, and you had waiters that were serving both groups. In other words, the same waiter would be serving both groups. The two groups would join up to form a larger number, and in the case of less than 10, and to a group of more than 10, you've got this practical application where now, because you have the shamosh, these two groups are considered one and will be able to say the Shem Hashem. So that if you had five people eating in one house and five people eating in another house, and you have a waiter serving the two groups of people, you've got now a group of 10. The chain isav Yerushalmi, and likewise it says thusly in the Yerushalmi, Ubildan, Shishmu Bircha Samozim Mitbiyam Avorech. All of this is true, provided they can all hear the one reciting the Bircha Samozim, and thereby assuming that's the case, they are one group. The Mishnah spoke about Bayis Echad when Tosfos is saying that the same halacha would apply even in two houses. So why choose the more obvious example? Mishum Chidush de Seifa. The point of emphasizing Bayis Echad is because of the Chidush, the novel point that's revealed in the Seifa. The Afilu B'Bayis Echad, that even though you have two groups in one house, and they're in one house, Im Lav Ein Mezamnen, meaning if you've got two groups that don't see each other, even though they're in the same house, and of course there's no waiter serving the two of them, the two groups, and so let's go over this again. You've got two groups of people in the same house, and they don't see each other, and there's no waiter serving on them, waiting on them. Actually, before we go on with that, let's point out again that the Mishnah's choice of Bayis Echad was to emphasize the chidush of the Seifa, that even though they may be in one house, And if they do not see each other, and of course there's no waiter waiting on both of them, so they will not form a zimun, even though they're in the same house. V'chein bebeis chasanim, in the case of a newly married couple, so that that's called for the first week of their marriage, which we refer to as sheva brachas. So that's the beis chasanim. Kishaoichlin b'chupa b'shnayim b'shnei botim u'bnei odem mishamshim izu lazu. And you have, sometimes you'll have a large crowd of people, and some are eating, and you'll have a lot of people, so that the group is split up into two different houses. Kishaoichlin b'chupa b'shnei botim u'bnei odem mishamshim izu lazu mitstarfen. They will join up. Provided we're able to apply the same standard or fulfill the same requirements as we mentioned before, that the two groups can hear the one who is leading the Birchas Hamazon, who is reciting the Birchas Hamazon. The next Tosfos, Borei Pri Ha'etz V'Notlin Mimenu Liodayim. This is a reference to the point that Gemara made regarding wine. So before water is added, if you have we'll call raw wine or undiluted pure wine, and it's felt that it's not so drinkable in that state, so before the water is added, so the bracha to be recited over, we'll call it undiluted wine, but is Borei Pri Ha'etz, the Noitlin Mimenu Liodayim, and it would be suitable for Netilas Yodayim. That is from the Gemara, in fact, a Tanaic source in the Gemara. Pirush Rashi, Ki Loi Nosan L'Soichei Mayim, Lo Avi Elo Kimei Beros. Before water is put into it, so its status is no different than that of simple Mei Peros, and as such, it has what we call Shem Mayim Olov. It's classified as mayim, and therefore suitable for netilas yadayim. Umikan mashma demei peros ksherin lenetilas yadayim. From here, one might derive or assume or conclude that fruit juices are suitable for netilas yadayim. After all, what are we talking about? We're talking about squeezed grapes or fermented grapes. Is that not an example of a mei peros of fruit juice, and we are using it for netilas yadayim? V'yesh l'chalek bein hani d'amrinon b'perek kol abosur d'achazusa kapdisu. The Gemara in Maseches Chulin mentions that water whose color has changed, doesn't have a water color, is not suitable for netilas yadayim. And it's reasonable to assume that fruit juices don't have a water color to them, and yet we're saying that they are suitable for netilas yadayim. So Tosfos does not elaborate, but says that there is a distinction that can be made between we'll call it discolored water and regular fruit juice, where we'll be more willing to machshir, to allow the use of fruit juice and not use discolored water. All for netilas yadayim. Umiu yesh meforshim. There are those that say netilas yadayim boinan mayim, that for the washing of one's hands before a meal, you have to have only water. Only water is suitable. So means H2O. Dichtiv v'yodav lo shutaf b'mayim. There is some elaboration on this point that we recommend looking into in the Rosh Simen Lamed Aleph. The next Tosfos, Keman Az Lahodar Mar Shmuel. Shmuel mentioned in our Gemara, Oisin Kol Tzorchov B'Pas. A person can do whatever he needs with bread. And the Gemara wanted to know, Shmuel is based on what, on which Tana? So the Gemara says it was based on Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, we had seen in the Tanaic source above, mentioning that you could use undiluted wine for non-food purpose. So in using that as a foundation,
So Shmuel says, well, you can, just like you can use the just like Rebbe Lezer says, you can use the undiluted wine for purposes other than eating, for netilas yadayim. So you can use bread for any needs that you may have. So the Tosfos points out, licha oira mashma, the idea of the Gemara that Shmuel is based on Reb Lezer is superficially appears to have been derived mimai damar Reb Lezer noitlin v'chule, from that which Reb Lezer says that wine before water is added to it to make it drinkable, you can use it for netilas yadayim. So you're, once again, there you've got an example of a food substance used for non-eating. So Shmuel says you can use bread also for non-eating functions.
Well, Tosfos raises a question. Now we have, with by way of our markings, we have a long question marking, and the long question marking takes in two questions, and we've highlighted them with diamonds and with numbers. Tema. First of all, it's a big question. He says, "The Amrinon beperek bamet toinin in Maseches Shabbos." It says, "Amar de Omar Shmuel b'midi de lo mimis b'midi de mimis mi Omar." Shmuel says that you can do all of your needs, all needs that you need can be fulfilled by using bread. In other words, if bread is functional for something other than eating, so go ahead and use the bread for that, provided that it doesn't become ruined, or literally doesn't become disgusting. However, if it's going to become disgusting, so then would Shmuel have said that you are allowed? The imkain, if that be the case, that Shmuel's din is a rather conservative approach. It's limited. Hechi moikim lo ha de Shmuel kribelozer de ha yayin midi de mimis mitis yadayim. How can you parallel Shmuel or say Shmuel is based on Rabbi Lezer, who said his comment used regarding the use of the wine for hand washing, that ruins the wine. That's midi de mimis. It's ruined through the wine coming into contact with dirty hands in the process of washing them, ruins the wine. Of midi de mimis, moide Shmuel. And when it comes to something that's ruined, the foodstuff that's ruined, Shmuel concedes that it is forbidden. The oid koshe, another problem. The ocho mashma di ein halacha kishmuel midemuki la kribalozer. From the fact that the Gemara says, well, Shmuel's halacha, like whom does it go? It goes like, well, it goes like Rabbi Elazar. It sounds like the Gemara's point is to say we don't paskin like Shmuel because he's based on a shitas yochid. He's based on an individual opinion where we see the chachomim disagreeing in that very same source. So in our Gemara, it's mashma, don't go like Shmuel. Ubeperek sheni debetza ka'omar Stama de Gemara, in the second parak of Beitza, in Maseches Beya, the Gemara says in an unqualified fashion, in other words, a Stam Gemara is a Gemara without any names, indicating it's authoritative. The Sufli, L'chiyusa B'yom Tov, Sufli is for our purposes, it's date pits that serve as animal feed, on Yom Tov, you can carry them around on a piece of bread, together with bread, kishmuel, like Shmuel teaches. There is a comment in the Sefer Sifse Chachomim on Maseches Brachos that the Gemara in Beya is speaking about the tiltul of the Sufli on Shabbos, and not specifically on Yom Tov. But for our purposes, we are here to emphasize that we see the use, we see the Gemara saying that you can do that, and it says, Kishmuel, based on Shmuel. Mashma de Kaimulon Kabosei, by the fact that the Gemara is saying, referring to the moving around of these date pits, which themselves would possibly be Muktzah, but you can move them around by carrying them on a piece of bread or on a loaf of bread, like Shmuel says, it seems that we will rule like Shmuel. So we have presented two questions. The first question was, how is it that the Gemara can parallel Shmuel to Rabbi Eliezer when Shmuel is limited to midi de lo mimis, and Rabbi Eliezer is saying even the midi de mimis? And secondly, our Gemara conveys the feeling that we do not paskin like Shmuel, and the Gemara in Be'a indicates that we will paskin like Shmuel. V'yesh lomar, d'hocha lo ka'omar, elo ledivrei Rabbi Eliezer. The savar lo k'shmuel, v'adifa mine ka'omar. All that our Gemara was trying to say over here is that Rabbi Eliezer is, even though he's a Tana, he's based on the principle echoed by Shmuel, and goes further than that which Shmuel would allow. That, namely, there's a certain parallel between them, but not that Shmuel is based literally on Rabbi Eliezer, but rather that Rabbi Eliezer the Tana would go further than that which Shmuel would allow. Afilu hecha de mimis, v'lo nochas kan elo lefaresh taimo de Rabbi Eliezer kidipi rashnu. And the purpose of the Gemara here was only to explain or shed more light on the shita of Rabbi Eliezer, but not to say that Shmuel is based on Rabbi Eliezer, but rather to show that Rabbi Eliezer's idea of using the wine for Netilas Yadayim comes from an idea that you can use food stuffs for non-food purposes. Bahag Omar, the Bahalochas Gedolah says, the Halocha k'Rabbonon d'hocha, that we will paskin like the Rabbonon here, which would tell us, what basically says, and you cannot use the wine, even in its undiluted fashion, for hand washing. Bahalocha nami k'Shmuel, and the Halocha will also follow Shmuel. Dechi ka'omar Shmuel hani mili b'midi d'lo mimis. Shmuel's seeming leniency with regard to the bread is only in the context of it not getting ruined. Avo midi d'mimis lo. But if it would get ruined, so you cannot use the bread. And that's what the Chachamim were saying, that you cannot use the wine for washing the hands because the wine will get ruined. Udelo kepiresh Rabbeinu Hananel sheposak deloy kishmuel. The Bahag is not like the Rach, who paskins, who says we don't paskin like Shmuel. The posak deloy kishmuel miruki lo kereb lazer. The Rach takes the approach that we saw earlier in the Tosfos, that the fact that the Gemara wants to associate Shmuel with Rabbi Lezer, it's another way of saying we will not allow you to use the bread for non-eating purposes. So the Tosfos is simply pointing out the Rach doesn't agree with the Bahag. Elavadai kaimolon kishmuel. But the Tosfos does not accept the Rach, but rather goes like the Bahag, namely that we do paskin like Shmuel, to the Pirashnu, as we explained, that Shmuel is not a reflection of Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, and that Shmuel is represents a rather conservative approach, and therefore we paskin like him. And that Shmuel is not based on a Shitas Yochid. I think that's the main point to emphasize here, that we can afford to paskin like Shmuel and not risk ourselves running against the rules of Psach by saying that he is simply he's a reflection of a Shitas Yochid, because that's not the case. It represents the Shitas HaRabbonon, and the Tana, Rabbi Eliezer, happens to go further. The Im Kain Mutter Lismocha Ka'ora B'Pas Echad De Lo Mimis. So now that we're saying that we can paskin like Shmuel, it means you can lean a bowl on a loaf of bread in a situation that nothing drips from the bowl or spills from the bowl and ruins the bread. V'yesh omrim ditzorech le'ochlo achar kach. There are those that want to say that if you use the bread for supporting a bowl, you then have to eat the bread. V'yesh noagim lechol daisa b'pas hoyo ve'oichlin apas achar kach. There are those that say, or that are nohag to use bread as a spoon. In other words, they scoop out daisa. Daisa will translate as something like porridge. Using the bread. And now, what? Based on what would you be allowed to do that? That is based on this Yesh Omrim, that you have to eat the bread, and they will eat the bread afterwards. After using it as a spoon, they'll then eat the bread. Avol Maseches Sofrim Osru. In Maseches Sofrim, they won't allow using the bread as a spoon for porridge. Damir Maseches Sofrim Ein Oichlin Oichlin Ba'Oichlin. One does not eat using food in order to eat food, which would mean one cannot employ a bread as a spoon. Elohim Kain Oya Oichlin Ba'Bas Achas. The only heter would be is if you eat it simultaneously. An example of that might be someone who is interested in eating, let's say, a salad in a pita bread or in a sandwich form, where the bread, in a sense, is there to hold the salad, but you are eating the bread simultaneously with the other food stuff that's between the slices or in the pocket. The Shema, another approach to this is that Shema Hahi could be that the Maseches Sofrim is Delo Kishmuel, is simply not in agreement with Shmuel. The Maseches Sofrim that says you cannot use the bread as a spoon would simply not be in agreement with Shmuel, that would say that you could. What has to be a very fine point that would have to be analyzed here is does the bread get ruined? Does it get disgusting if you use it for the achilas daisa? And if you say no, so then it would be a clear point of machlokis between the Maseches Sofrim, which says you still can't use it, and Shmuel, who would say that you can use it. Moidim chachomim Reb Elazar b'kois shel bracha she'in mevorchen olav ad shiten l'socho mayim. We saw, we just made reference to this before, machlokis Reb Elazar chachomim about making a bracha of bor pri gefen on undiluted wine. So Reb Elazar says, no, it's not fit for drinking. And the Chachamim say, even if it's undiluted, you will make a bor pri gefen. They'll consider it, will say it is fit enough to justify a bor pri gefen. However, the Chachamim will concede to Reb Elazar that if you're talking about a kushel bracha, that's a cup of wine that you're going to be using for things like kiddush or brichas hamazon or sheva brachas, that a cup that's like that, a cup of wine like that, that you don't use it for those other prayers, the kiddush or havdalah, brichas hamazon, until you add water to it. So Tosfos asks a question, Teima d'amrinan l'kamon, we say later, Arba dvarim nemru b'kois shel bracha, chai u'molei, and we've dashed underlined two words, but we want to emphasize right now, at this moment, the word chai. It says very clearly that four things were said regarding, with four requirements that exist regarding a kois shel bracha, and one of them is that it must be undiluted. Chai means in its raw form, undiluted. So how can you say that kois shel, that how can our Gemara say that the chomer moedi Reb Elazar kois shel bracha, that you cannot use it for the special brachas if it's undiluted? V'yesh lomar, approach number one, deboinon shiitnu chai l'soich hakois. Gemara later on that says four things were said by the kois shel bracha, and one of them is is chai, that's because we're talking about the pouring of it into the cup. You pour it in undiluted, the achar kach yim zigenu. But later, after it's in the cup, it is to be diluted. And at that point, it will also become full. Inami bo'inon chai min achovis. Another possibility is that chai is a requirement for the wine to be undiluted when you're drawing it from the barrel. Inami koi akois atzmo. It could be that the term chai is not going on the wine whatsoever. The wine really should not be chai, should be diluted in order to recite the brachas over it. So then what do we mean that it has to be chai? It's going on the cup. Umay chai, and what does the word chai mean? Sholem. It means it's complete, it's whole, without cracks in it. Kiyisha b'makis. As you find in Maseches Makis, the use of the word chai associated with sholem, something that's complete. And what does it say in Makis? Reseik tisha nemolem v'echad chai. If a person had ground up 9 ants and one was chai, chai means sholem, and they all add up to a kezias, so the Gemara there says he'll be chai of Malkis. Alma de oisoi chai hainu sholem. The case there from Maseches Makis, it's very clear that it's not talking about something that's alive or pure or undiluted, rather something that's complete. Hochinami bo'inon shiak kois shalem below shvira. So too, here we are requiring the cup that you're going to be using for the koshel brocha shall be an uncracked, it should be a complete whole cup. Lemai chazi, this Tosfos is going on. What the Gemara had asked regarding the Shitas Chachamim, that if it's raw wine, you will still make a borei priya gefen over it. So the Gemara asks, well, what is it useful for? People don't ordinarily drink it like that. So the Tosfos explains, pirush ulemai ishtini le'iluya. In what area has it become improved? In other words, this Tosfos is based on a certain amount of background knowledge that you may have from having learned this Masichta, that Borei Priya Gefen is a special bracha. It's an upgraded bracha because the wine, it went from grapes to becoming wine and hence gaining greater significance. So the bracha's update is upgraded from Borei Priya Eitz to Borei Priya Gefen. But you might ask if it's undiluted wine, so in what aspect is it useful now for something that it wasn't useful before? So where is there any improvement in it that should justify such a shita like that of the Chachamim that say on Yayin Chai you will make a Borei Priya Gefen, which is the upgraded brocha? And hence, there is good reason to ask, Ulamai ishtani le'iluya, as Tosfos says. Umishani, the Gemara answers, l'kuraiti. The undiluted wine is good for the kuraiti beverage. V'chein halocha, k'rabonon, da'ayayin chai mevorchon alo, borei pri ha'gefen, da'amrinon shoson chai yotza. We see that the halocha will go like the Chachamim, by virtue of this simple reading of the Gemara in Psochim, which speaks about the drinking of the 4 cups that are associated with the Leil Pesach in a chai form, and the chai would be undiluted. So Yossi fulfills his wine requirement, and part of that is that he's going to be saying Borei Priya Gefen over each one of those 4 cups of, in this case, undiluted wine on Pesach. So we see that we follow the shita of the Chachamim. Ein zorkin es ha'oichlin. In the Gemara, it was mentioned that one is not allowed to throw food. Behani shloisha moide Shmuel. There are 3 things that Shmuel will concede. Namely, even though Shmuel said Oisim kol srocha v'pas, he will concede. Ein mavirin kois mole alapas. One should not pass over a loaf of bread, a cup that is full to the brim. The fear is it'll ruin it. The gam ein choychen basar, the gam ein choychen olav basar chai. You also are not to cut on a piece of bread, raw meat. You shouldn't use the loaf as a cutting board. The ein zarkin es apas afilu lo mimis, and one is not allowed to throw the bread even if it doesn't become disgusting. The chen shar ochlim also lizork b'mili mimis. And likewise, with regard to other food items, it's forbidden to throw them if they would get ruined. But you see from here, there's a standard applied to bread, a higher standard, that even if it doesn't get ruined, it's still a lack of respect to the bread to throw it. V'lo b'mois akshamim. We had a Tanaic source that said that one is not to throw kluskolos around. These are loaves of baked goods. Lo b'mois achamim v'lo b'mois akshamim. So the Tosfos says, v'lo b'mois akshamim, afal gaf al pi she be'egozim ein ha'oichel nimes b'socho. Nuts that are within their shells. So the food part that's contained within the shell does not become disgusting. Mikomokom kishen noflim betit nim osin. Nevertheless, if the nut would fall into mud, so it becomes disgusting. So that our Tanaic source spoke about throwing in front of a chosen kala kloyos, and it mentioned egoizim. But not b'moisek shamim. We're pointing out a technical thing regarding nuts, that even though they're contained within a shell and the food part of them doesn't become disgusting, nevertheless, when nuts, walnuts, let's say, in their shell falls into mud, people are disgusted by that. Umiu achshav shedarken lizrog chitim bebeis chasanim. Nowadays, there is a practice of throwing wheat in the Beis Chasanim, where a couple is getting married. Tzorach lizor shelo yizrukum el b'mokom noki. A person should be careful to throw them in a place that is clean. And that all comes from this concern that Tosfos is mentioning, that even if the food item is not necessarily ruined, but nevertheless it becomes disgusting, it is not to be thrown or cast about. With that, we conclude our Tosfos Shiur for today.